Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church and approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our family and children's director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And yeah, this couple of weeks ago in church, we were looking at Isaiah 53, that wonderful passage where Jesus' gift to us in his suffering is described in verse 4. And it brought to mind the idea that Jesus really fought and advocated for each one of us, that he really fought for us, fought a battle with evil so that we could be free, that we could have peace with God. And it brought up the whole topic of when and how and when is it appropriate for Christians to even think about fighting.
Yeah.
We know that there's been a recent poll lately that said that if we were suffering in the United States the kind of invasion that Ukraine is currently, that 38% of Americans said that they would not fight, that they would flee rather than fight, even for their own communities. So let's just talk about that for a minute. What are those conditions under which we need to stand and fight? And when we're talking to our kids about war or about the morality of fighting, what do we tell them? Is it okay to fight when we're protecting others? Is it okay to fight when we're advancing the good? Is it okay to fight when we're protecting ourselves?
Right.
Now, that's a big, big topic and a lot of questions, but I thought maybe we'd just take the first one today. What about that? Is it okay, and could we tell our kids it's okay to fight when they're protecting others? Let's say a kid is being bullied, either physically bullied or cyber bullied. Is it okay to fight?
When we look at our Bibles, and especially to the New Testament gospel, we see that Jesus is constantly fighting for others, whether it be the salvation of others, the fair treatment of others, or the lives of others in some aspect or another. But that doesn't always mean that the way Jesus fought looks like what we might think fighting should and does look like in this world.
Mm-hmm.
One instance that comes to mind is when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. By all accounts, Jesus is converting this woman and opening her eyes to salvation, fighting perhaps for that. But also, if we look at the text and understand the prejudice that clouded the Jewish and Samaritan view of one another, Jesus' actions of a public display of kindness towards a woman truly can be seen as an act of fighting for her, whom even his own disciples were marginalizing.
Yeah, so he doesn't even, he's just by sitting down with her, he's fighting for her in a sense. Yeah, I mean, it's so true. Jesus never really picked up a sword, so to speak, to defend a person. But he really did fight back using words and even shame. You remind me of that story when the Pharisees brought Jesus a woman who had been caught in adultery. And Jesus actually fought for her, protected her from physical harm. Yeah. Remember, they wanted to stone her to death. But Jesus dissuaded them first by shaming them, saying that only a person who had never sinned should throw the first stone. So in our world, I guess moral suasion and countering evil with arguments for good are one way to fight back. I mean, think about it. It's easy to imagine a situation where our kids know about a bullying situation with a friend or something. And whether that's physical or cyberbullying, and maybe saying to those attackers, you know, how would you feel if that were you? So that's one way to kind of persuade a person, maybe, and kind of fight for them in that way. But what if that's not persuasive? What might be another way that we could say that our kids could fight back in that situation?
There will be times in all of our children's lives, just as there have been times in our lives, where they will not be able to instantly overcome evil or an aggressor with their words. They might not be able to stop that situation, but they certainly are not powerless in those situations, and we as parents have to let them know that they can still fight to protect others in those times. We might not always have the power or influence over everyone around us, but we still have power over our actions. In those times when our children are fighting for others, they can do so by being intentional about their actions for good. Kindness, as we said previously, as Jesus showed to the Samaritan woman, can counter the negative and mean attacks of others. When our children show kindness to those they are seeking to fight to protect, they are showing that person that they see their value, their character, and their hearts, and are denying the attacker the power over their victim.
Yeah, that's really good. Because it's kind of like protecting the victim by just standing with them, yeah. so to speak, or just kind of being with them, being on their side. That puts a whole new face on the person in the eyes of their attackers. And that's kind of what Jesus did with that adulteress. Without ever condoning what she did,
right.
Jesus became her advocate and defender. So now her accusers had to deal with them both. They had to see both she and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, aligning with the victim, either by physically being with them or, say, defending them online, that can be really helpful and add moral weight to that victim's cause. Now, of course, as Jesus knew, and we should too, aligning ourselves with the outcast, and we should make sure our kids know this, aligning ourselves with that outcast person has its price.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly our kids might find themselves in jeopardy. So how can we balance a righteous desire to defend the weak against a pragmatic understanding that to act for the cause of peace or act on someone else's behalf can actually bring a price?
Right. This is difficult, especially for young people who find a great deal of value in how well-liked they might be, because there's a real risk of ostracizing oneself when standing up for others.
Mm-hmm.
This certainly doesn't mean that we shouldn't teach our children to stand up for peace. We should. But as parents, we should be aware of the great amount of courage that it takes to do so. When speaking to our children about fighting for others and for peace, we want to balance those feelings of isolation with the value which peace brings to our lives.
Mm.
We want to help them to understand that though popularity comes and goes often as we grow, peace, if we fight for it, can have a lasting effect on our lives and the lives of others around us. Peace might not be the popular decision, but it's always the decision that will bring us closer to living out God's intended purposes for us and will honor Him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, defending a person and giving them cover so that they can find a little peace is worth being ostracized for a season. But we always have to make it clear that also, when it comes to being in physical jeopardy, our kids really have to understand that it makes sense to have reinforcements. And if there's a chance that the defense of another kid will mean physical harm to them,
mm-hmm.
that parents really have to be brought into the loop. And
right.
we've talked about this before, that parents need to establish a kind of relationship with their kids and keep them in environments like church where they can find trusted adults so that they're more likely to come and find that kind of support if it
sure.
comes to that. Well, of course, we all want our kids to have the moral backbone to want to stand up for justice and protect the outcast. But we need to help them also balance their good intentions while protecting their physical safety and help them find creative ways to protect and defend other people.
Our verse for this week is Psalm 41:1, and it says, "Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble." Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really talking about here when we talk to our kids about this. The people that they might be protecting might not be actually poor, physically poor, but they are in need of something. Protection, definitely. And as our kids step in to that role of protecting others, God's going to step in as well and help them as well.
Yeah, I love that. All right, well, thanks so much for being with us today. Of course, if you're in the Burbank area on a Sunday, you're welcome to come worship with us at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And always you can worship with us online just by following the instructions there on this podcast. So, we hope you'll be with us next week. God bless you. Until then.
Bye.